I ask you this morning, if you will, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Passages that are familiar to each one of us, I'm sure. And yet there are times that I felt the need to go back to these passages over and over and over again, just to remind myself that the Lord has given an open access to His throne for us to be able to go and to lay our burdens down before the Lord and know that He hears our prayers and He receives us in such a way as to give us ease and to give us relief and renewal in our lives. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 this morning. And the title, if I would have one, would be, How is Your State of Mind? How is your state of mind? Now, I want you to know I'm not going to give you a psychology lecture this morning concerning this. I hope to bring the scriptural aspect of how that we should evaluate, how that we see things, how that we perceive, and how that we filter things in our minds as we see them happening in the world that is around us. And this book of Philippians, Paul wrote it while he was in prison. And as he was writing it, I believe that he was doing a reality check in his own life as to how things were hitting him as he was sitting there in prison, knowing that he was not guilty of anything that they had charged him of, and yet he was there. And you know, in that situation, I can only imagine that he had so many things that was hitting him right in the face, and it was like the accuser was standing there and just saying, "Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? But what about this? What about that? How are you going to deal with that? Why did that happen?" And you know, he's really good at that. Satan is really good at that. To stand right in front of us and just to hurl accusation after accusation or negative thought after negative thought. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, that becomes the state of our mind. That becomes the place where that we dwell, and that we see everything and we filter it as though everything is negative that is coming at us. But I want us to understand something this morning. The Word of God teaches us that our life in Christ Jesus is nothing but positive. We are positive as we go forward in Christ. So, Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before your throne this morning and we thank you for the privilege that we have to open our Bibles and to read your word to us this morning. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just move in our hearts and our minds, draw us into your presence. Bless us, Lord, to be able to see and understand the things that you've laid out for us in your word that will enrich us and enable us to be able to go forward in such a way as to glorify you with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions, with everything that is about us, that we might bless your holy name. Father, I pray that you will bless this word to us today. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Something that I learned a long time ago, and certainly not original with me, but any time that you see the word therefore, look ahead, look back behind it to see what the word therefore is there for. There's a reason that it begins verse 1 with therefore. There's something in that is there in the just previous to that that brings into that. So when he starts out this particular part of the passage by saying, therefore, my brothers, stand fast. There's a reason just beyond that, just before that, that helps us, enables us to realize what he's talking about. And I go back to chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that I believe is what Paul is basing what he's talking about in these passages. Verse 20 of chapter 3 says, for our conversation is in heaven. And that word conversation, as I understand it, means our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. From which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. God is able. That's a fact that is spread out through all of the gospel. God is able. God is able to do all things. When the angel appeared unto Mary saying that you're going to give birth to the very Son of God, how shall it be? God is able. God is able. God is able to do all things. I understand maybe there's at least one thing that God is not able to do, and that is God cannot lie. So therefore, everything that we read in the Word of God is truth, and we know that God is able to back it up. And at the very end of verse 21, he says, He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. God is able to subdue. God is able to subdue. What is it that is coming against us this morning? What is it that we feel like is just beating us back, is knocking us down, that every way that we turn, we see it, that it's facing us, and it's right in our face? What is it this morning that troubles us? What is it this morning that we're thinking about that we want to have subdued, and sometimes it wears us out trying to subdue it on our own? Sometimes we think we can handle it. Sometimes we think we can tackle it. Sometimes we think we can take care of it on our own. But the truth of the matter is, only God is able to subdue. Only God is able to bring it into a place where that we're capable by His grace and His mercy to deal with those things that come at us. Only by the grace of God. So he says, God is able to subdue all things. Ultimately, just before that, he's telling us what God is going to subdue. There's coming a day when God's going to subdue this old flesh that I have to deal with every day. There's coming a day when this flesh is going to be changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say now that that's what the end result of predestination is. Predestination does not pertain to things in this world. Predestination is ultimately that we're going to be fashioned and formed just like Jesus Christ when we enter into heaven's glory. That's the end of predestination. God has predetermined that we're going to be made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse 20 and 21. We're looking for Jesus. We're looking for Him to return. We're looking for Him to come back and to call us into glory. We're looking for Him to come to that point where that He steps out on the cloud and that the trumpet sounds, the shout is given, and we're changed and caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and made to be look just exactly like Jesus. I'm looking forward to that day. And the older I get, the more that I look forward to it. There was a time when what I just now said would have scared me even to say it. But I say to you, I'm looking forward to that time when I'm going to be like Jesus and I'll be able to lay this body to the side and not have to deal with the aches and the pains and the trials and the troubles and all the things that come at us. God is able to subdue, and ultimately He's going to subdue even this old flesh. He's going to subdue it to be made into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We're looking for that to happen. But unless I'm greatly deceived, it hasn't happened yet, has it? We're still waiting for that to happen. We're still waiting for that. But just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. God has a set time when He's going to send His Son into the clouds to bring us back. And I keep saying in the clouds because eventually, before the Lord finishes with me here at Grace, I want to preach on this, but I just want to say it right now. I do not believe that Jesus will ever step foot on the earth again. He finished the work that He came to do when He hung on the cross and He said, "It is finished." I don't believe that He'll ever step foot on the earth again, but Scriptures do tell us that He's going to step out and that shout is going to take place. The trumpet's going to sound, and we who are in Christ Jesus in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed and caught up together with Him in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. That's my hope. And Paul says now, because of that, therefore, because that God is able to subdue, and that's what we're looking forward to, but we're still here now, he says there's some things that I want you to understand. There's some things that I want you to hold to. There's some things that is going to be said that will enable us to be able to deal with things as they come about. But right now, we're pilgrims and strangers going through this land of sin and sorrow. So, therefore, because that God is able to subdue, there's certain things that He's given us also the ability to be able to endure in this life. We're going to go through the book of Philippians this morning. Not going to be an all-day sermon, I promise you. It could be, but it's not going to be. But we're going to look at some things that trouble Paul. And I'm going to go back to chapter 1 and we're going to kind of work our way through it. First of all, you've got to have a foundation. We looked at the word therefore. You have to understand that therefore is something that is very important for us to embrace and take hold of. And he begins the very book in verse 6 of chapter 1 with speaking of our confidence. So this morning, I ask each of us, where is our confidence? Where do we place our confidence? What is it that we feel like that's our go-to? That no matter what happens in our life, that's something that we can lean back on it, that we can go to that and know that we're going to find grace, we're going to find mercy, we're going to find help, we're going to find strength. In verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, being confident of this very thing. Being confident of this very, I understand that to be one thing, right? This very thing, that's the one thing that we can have confidence in. Being confident of this very thing, that he which is able to subdue, he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want us, and I know y'all do have confidence in this, but I'm just going to remind you this morning, I want us to have confidence that God is not going to get us at some point in life and just throw us away and say, I'm done with you. He would have done that to me a long time ago if that's what He was going to do. He's being confident of this very thing. Are you confident of it this morning? Do you understand in your heart and your mind that no matter what, God's love never changes? It never changes. God will never say to you, that's it, I'm not going to love you anymore. He'll never say that to you. Being confident of this very thing. There's the foundation. There's the basis on everything else that I'm going to say this morning. Is if we need to have that confidence that God is going to finish what He starts in us. He's going to finish it. He's going to take us all the way to the end. He's not going to take us halfway and say, now you find the rest of the way on your own. Or He's not going to say, you meet me halfway and I'll take you the rest of the way. He began it. He's going to finish it. He's going to take us all the way through. Being confident of this. So I want us this morning to have confidence in the Lord. And that's something that maybe we just assume that we have. But right now, I want it to be stirred up. And you know how that in the olden days, when they give you tea and you put the sugar in it and you stir it up and then eventually it settles down at the bottom. Then you have to get your spoon and stir it up again so it comes back. Okay, sometimes our confidence kind of settles down to the bottom, doesn't it? We need to have it stirred up again this morning. So this morning, I just want to stir up your minds to have that confidence brought back to the surface again. Something that you know, something that you've relied upon it. But I want you to be reminded of it this morning, okay? I want you to be reminded of it in such a way that when you leave today, you can say, wow, that's something that maybe I had just taken for granted all this time, or maybe I just let it slip my mind. But now I can say, thank you, Lord, that my confidence is renewed. My confidence is restored. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the day of Jesus Christ is that day that when we look for Him and we may be made just like Him. So He's going to continue it on. Okay. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast, being confident of this very thing. Put it all together. Now, Paul is sitting here, and he's sitting in prison. And Paul, as he's in prison, he was the kind that if you talk to him for 3 minutes, he's going to bring Jesus into the conversation. He's going to bring him in such a way as to let others know what the Lord did for him. So he's sitting in prison, and as he's sitting there, Paul's been preaching. He's been preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's been preaching to anybody and everybody. I can just imagine him sitting in the cell and not able to see anybody, but he knows people can hear. And he's just declaring to the top of his voice, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is the one that picked me up at a time when I felt like that I had to do it all on my own. Jesus is the one that came to me and restored to me. And as he was preaching Jesus Christ, there would be somebody down the hallway that would start mentioning the name of Jesus. And some of them might be using the name of Jesus in a manner that was not the most glorifying to him. In other words, they were kind of mocking Paul for the fact that he was putting his trust in someone. Even when he was in prison, they would mock him, make fun of him. You ever had that happen? You ever had somebody that you talked to about the Lord and what the Lord's done for you and they're just not going to have anything to do with it? Paul says, that's okay. You talk about Jesus anyway. You talk about Jesus, because there were some that took that message and God blessed them to be able to embrace it and to know that indeed Jesus Christ was their Savior and their Lord. And they began to preach in sincerity. They began to preach the declaration of who Jesus Christ is. And Paul said, whether he's preached let me just read that, okay? Verse 18 of chapter 1. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Goes back to being confident of this very thing. That God's going to continue and God's going to work and God's going to do. And also the very thing that he said, therefore, that God is able to subdue. God is able to take that message. Now again, one of these days, I think I said this here 30-something years ago, and I'm still saying it today. One of these days, I hope I don't have to stop and drive a pig down and tell you what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about gospel regeneration. I'm not saying that the preaching of the gospel brings anybody from death to life. But I am going to say this, the preaching of the gospel will bring from darkness to light. The preaching of the gospel will open the eyes of those that are seeking and searching. And so Paul was saying, whether that Christ is preached in pretense, whether that somebody's mocking, or whether somebody is in truth speaking the name of Jesus Christ, whichever way that it is, Christ is preached. And he said, and I rejoice. I rejoice in it, the fact that the name of Jesus Christ is mentioned, because God is able. In fact, the Word of God tells us that His Word will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish that for which it is sent. So even if it was preached in pretense, Paul's saying, Christ is preached, the name of Jesus is mentioned, and I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. The other day, Judy and I were sitting at a table in a restaurant and bowed our head and we asked the blessing. And when I said amen, somebody that was sitting across the way at another table, I heard them say, amen. I'm telling you, people hear. People are looking for. People are longing for. There are people today that need to hear the name of Jesus. And we're going to see in just a moment that you and I, we are the lights that shine the Word of God into this dark world. And who is the light? Who is the light that we shine? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? So Paul says, okay, so somebody's mocking me. But somebody down there is hearing about Jesus. And somebody down there is saying, what's this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is able to go into the deepest, darkest dungeon and there enlighten the soul of His people. I'm convinced of that. If I wasn't convinced of that, I don't have a message to preach to you today. But I am convinced of the power of God, that He's able to subdue even what we would consider to be the worst of sinners. I think of John Newton and how that he considered himself to be the worst of sinners. And yet God subdued his heart and his mind. Our God is able. I want us to understand that. So even when we're trying to do what God would have us to do, and other people perceive it as being something that is silly or ridiculous, let it be. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as we're serving the Lord and doing what the Lord would have us to do. Then we find that on top of that, Paul was constantly under the pressure of being executed. And eventually he was executed for his stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even here in the Philippian prison, he was in danger of being executed in that way. So, Paul, what was your state of mind? How did you look at that? How did you look at that, the reality that you could die at any moment? Those footsteps coming down the hall could be the executioner coming to take you and to take your life from you. What was your state of mind? How did you face that? Well, let's go to verse 21 of that first chapter. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ. If I were to ask us this morning, complete this sentence, to me, life is, what would be the answer? What would be your answer concerning what life means to you right now? Paul said, to me, to live is Christ. Then he went on to say, and to die is gain. In other words, he's going to subdue this flesh and he's going to take me into heaven's glory. But right now, to be on this earth, to have life, to have the ability to reason, to have the ability to take in all the things that are going on, everything that I see is my opportunity, Paul is saying, to show Christ in me. And to show that Christ is my hope in glory. My hope is not that the executioner would have mercy on me. My hope is that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's the one who has bought me with His blood. He's the one that when time has come, even if the next 5 minutes they're coming and they're taking my life from me, my Lord is in control. And I'm trusting Him. So for me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. Every opportunity, every day, I'm convinced that the Lord puts someone in our paths that need to hear the good news. Would you agree with me that we live, probably in my lifetime anyway, probably we live in the most negative time that I have ever seen? The time when the most people seemingly are looking at everything through negative glasses. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. I'm going to put a plug in for our Wednesday evening service. We talked this about a little bit. But when you're around people that are constantly negative, what's going to happen to you? You're going to become negative, right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Be careful who you associate with. And if you can, try to inject some, I don't even know if this is a word, this is a Steve-ism maybe, some positivity into it. But listen, don't hang around if all that you hear is negative. Move away from that. Withdraw yourself from that. There are those in the world today that still look through the eyes of Christ, that still see the things of this world through the eyes of Jesus Christ, and still know that there is positive to be found in every day of living that we have. There is positive. Paul said, I want to be that positive. For to me, to live, Christ. Christ. I want people to see Christ in me. I want people to hear Christ from me. I want them to see, even in my attitude and my approach to life, that Jesus Christ is the one that I'm walking with and the one that I'm talking with. Then on top of that, there's the pressure to bow down to the Roman government. I can't be quiet about this. We live in a time when people want us to bow down to their own things, okay? They want us to bow down to it. Don't do it. Don't bow down to anything of this world. Everything of this world is temporary. And nothing of this world will deliver us. I'm so thankful. I can't hardly keep from bringing in things that I've seen and heard. But the policeman, maybe a state trooper, a few weeks ago, someone wanted him to bow down to the Black Lives Movement. They wanted him to bow down to that, and he said, there's only one that I bow down to. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that is worthy of our bowing down to. He's the only one that's worthy of acknowledging that we are to be allegiance to Him. We're to give our allegiance to Him. We're to give all honor to Him. We're to give all glory to Him. Now understand something. I have black friends. This is going out on Facebook. Probably some may see it. I don't know. I have black friends. I'm not against blacks. But I'm telling you, and this may be getting into the political. If it is, y'all jump on me afterward. Black Lives Matter is not for the people. It's for a movement. And we're not to bow down to that. Okay, I'm going to get away from that. But Paul had the reason I bring that in is because Paul had the pressure to bow down to the Roman government. And do you remember what his response to that was in Philippians chapter 2? After he went through that beautiful discourse of what Jesus had done for him and the fact that Jesus had shed his blood and become obedient unto death. He said in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 9, he says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, only at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if God tells me that there's one that I'm to bow down to, how many others should I bow down to? None. Only one. And His name is Jesus. And yes, I get excited about what my Lord has done for me. For I know that if He had not died for me, I would be condemned to hell. Because there's no way that I could have brought myself out of that. But through Jesus Christ, His shed blood, His grace, His mercy, He reached down and He lifted me up and He gave me life. And only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm not bowing down to the Roman government. I'm not bowing down to that which is completely against God. I'm not bowing down to that which is trying to take away from the glory of God. Because I've got news for them. My Lord says that the Lord is His name, and He will not share His glory with another. He will not. So therefore, anyone who tries to take away from the glory of God, it will, I'll use a worldly term because I don't know exactly how to say it otherwise, it'll catch up with them, and God will bring them down. You can be assured of that. He says, whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whosoever humbleth himself shall be lifted up and drawn up. So He said, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to bow down to one, and His name is Jesus. Then He went on to talk about the darkness of this world. Sarah and I, the last couple of days, we've been watching a series on Netflix, and it's about five young men that were wrongfully accused and convicted and sent to prison. And it showed their state of mind. And maybe this is what kind of spurred me on with this. It showed their state of mind, especially when they came to a place where that everything was dark and they felt like there was no hope for them. No way that they would ever be relieved. And since then, they have been released and found that they were innocent. But during that time, there was complete darkness. There was complete sadness. There was sorrow. There was all of the things that were weighing down because they were living in a dark time in their life. Have you ever been in a dark time in your life? Have you ever been at a place where it seemed like that there's just no hope, that there's no way of it turning around, there's no way of it going forward, that you're just stuck in that place? Can I tell you this morning there's hope in Jesus Christ? Can I tell you this morning that He is the one? I love that song, Chain Breaker. He's the one that breaks the chains. He's the one that sets us free. He's the one that brings us out. He's the one that gives us light. He's the one that gives us encouragement. He's the one that when we feel like we can't take another step, He reaches down and He picks us up and He carries us in His arms to take us to that place where that we have peace and hope and joy and enlightenment once again. And I assure you, for every valley that you go through, there's a beginning, yes, but there's also an end. There's the other end of it. And Christ is the one, our shepherd, that brings us through. So Paul says, in this darkness, I have a responsibility even in the darkness. As a child of God, I have a responsibility even in the dark places. In the times when it seems like that things are not ever going to get any better. He says in verse 15, let me go back to verse 14 of chapter 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why, Paul? Why can't I complain? Isn't that my nature? To complain? Things don't go my way, I complain. Things don't end the way I thought they ought to end, I complain. This happens, that happens, I complain. I murmur, I grumble, I mumble. Paul says, don't. Don't do that. Why? That you may be blameless and harmless. You know, when you're in the darkness, it's when you're most likely to strike out against those that are even the closest to you. When you're in the darkness, that's the time that you spit out words that you didn't mean, that you say things, that you do things that you didn't mean. Paul says, even in those times, you're to be blameless and you're to be harmless, the sons of God. Why am I to do things without murmuring and disputing? I'm a child of God. A few weeks ago, I talked about the things that get us down. And I think I made the statement from the pulpit in there. Those things don't own us. The things of this world do not own you. The thing that you're going through, or you know somebody's going through, that thing does not own you. Can I remind you? Can I stir up our hearts once again this morning? Who owns us? We're sons of God. And if I say sons and daughters, it doesn't take away from the Word of God. We're children of God. Jesus loves us so much that He went to the cross. That He took my sin. He took my guilt. He took my shame. He took my grief. Everything that I would try to allow to weigh me down, it's already been paid for on the cross on Calvary's Hill 2,000 years ago. Jesus did it. We sing that song sometimes. Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay part of it. He paid it all. And all to Him I owe. So therefore, I'm to be blameless. I'm to be harmless. I'm to live my life so that others can see and know I'm a blood-bought, spirit-born child of God. And if people don't like it, that's too bad. Because that's who I am. And I've not always lived up to that. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not standing here and saying I perfected this. I have a long way to go. But I have that one thing, that thing that is secured in me, that God will not let go of me. God will not throw me away. God will not say, I'm done with you, until He takes me home and I'm changed to be like Jesus. And He won't be done with me then. And I won't be done with Him. How can we be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, verse 16, holding forth the word of life. And I realize time's getting away from me. Holding forth the word of life. It's so important to know the Word of God. It's so important to spend time reading the Word of God. It's so important to hear the Word of God, to allow it to be brought into your hearts, into your minds. It's so very important to know this. This is the only... It's the roadmap that we have, not to get to heaven, but to get from birth to death. It's the roadmap that we have to get through life. So he says, hold forth the word of life. Hold it forward. Let others see that what you're doing is according to what God has said. What God has said. And Peter talks about that in one place. He said that people that you used to run with, they'll think it's strange. They'll think it's strange that what you're doing now is completely contrary to the way you used to live. But that's okay. Hold forth the word of life. Show that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. That He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's walking with me and He's talking with me. So therefore, when the darkness of this world, the way to get through it, the Word of God. The Word of God. Hold it forth and embrace it. Love it and know it. That that's exactly the only thing that will get through. Chapter 3 talks about the possibility of losing your position, of losing your prominence, of losing your place in society. And Paul certainly lost all of those things. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one that people that once looked up to him looked down to him. People that once looked to him for favors and looked to him for advice, they were trying to kill him after that. Paul said, you know what I think about all that? All that stuff that I lost? The biblical term is, it's dung. And I won't go into any explanations of what that is. It's dung. It's nothing. Anything that I had in this world that is taken away from me that I can gain Christ in my life, that was absolutely nothing in comparison to what Jesus does for me, in me, and through me. There's no comparison whatsoever. Paul said I'd lose it all again if that's what it took. Because I have something now that can't be taken away from me. I have something now that when I wake up in the morning, I have purpose in life. When I wake up in the morning, I have that which guides me. I have that which illuminates my path. I have that which shows me the way. And at the end of the day, I can look back and say, Lord, I left a lot undone, but thank you for what you blessed me to be able to do today. And tomorrow, if I live to see the light of another day, then Lord, give me another opportunity that I can serve you. But Lord, if I don't see the light of another day, I'm going to be serving you in a greater degree than I've ever had before. That is, I'm going to be bowing at your feet in that all that glory and beauty and wonder that we know nothing about. Okay, I'm done with my introduction now. I'm through with my introduction. But I promise you the next part won't be as long as the introduction. Chapter 4. Rejoice. Rejoice. You know, there might be some that whenever I, maybe not anybody, hopefully not anybody here, but might be some that would look at me and if I say something a little lighthearted like that, they might say that, no place for that. But I'm going to tell you, I enjoy my relationship with Jesus Christ. I think maybe the first or second Sunday here I said, I have fun. And it is fun. It's enjoyable to serve the Lord. There's no regret in serving the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get it the first time, he says, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. All of this stuff that we're having to deal with that is darkness, only God is able to subdue it anyway. So my being negative about it is not going to change it. My talking about it is not going to change it. And yes, I get caught up in it. I told you, I'm not perfected this yet. I still get caught up with it. But nothing I say is going to change what's going on in this world. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to subdue it. So who do I put my trust in? And if I've got my trust, my full trust in Jesus Christ, there's reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, this COVID, Jesus is still on His throne. My Heavenly Father is still in control. He owns the world and all that is in it. And anything that He allows to take place, there's a purpose for it. And the ultimate purpose for it is to draw me closer to Him. And the closer I get to Him, the more I'm going to rejoice. So bring it on! And I say that, and I may be in the hospital tonight with COVID. But I'm telling you now, if that's God's will for me, bring it on. Bring it on. If it'll help me to get closer to Him. And that's my ultimate purpose. That's my ultimate goal. That's my ultimate reason for living, is to rejoice and to know that my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your patience be known. Yes, I mean, we talked about this just before the service. Every one of us hopes this stuff will get out of here. I pray for it every day. Lord, would you just remove it? But in the meantime, He hasn't. So what do I need to do? I need to be patient in the Lord. To know if He's allowing it, there's a reason for it. And you know what? I don't have to know what that reason is. I really don't. And I've already confessed to you before, I'm a secret control freak. But I don't have to know why He's allowed this to happen. All I have to remember is that my God is able to subdue all things to Himself, including this COVID. So let my moderation, let my patience be known. God help me with that, because every once in a while my impatience just shoots right through there. Why? The Lord is at hand. I thought I heard an amen over here in the corner. The Lord is at hand. He's not somebody that's way off out there. Do you know how close He is? You do. I'm going to remind you. He's right here. I remember when Elder Woodrow Beasley had open heart surgery. He asked the doctor, Doctor, when you get in there, if you see any bitterness, if you see any wrath, if you see any anger, if you see any hatred, would you just clean it out while you got it open? Would you just take it on out of there? Sometimes that stuff builds up in us, doesn't it? Builds up. But the Lord is at hand. And He lives. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Be careful for nothing. Now that does not mean first time our children go out somewhere in the car by themselves. You remember how you felt? My mama said, you're entering in a whole new arena of faith right there. Because you're not in the car to say, slow down, speed up, move out of the way, turn the blinker on. But what's the last thing we say to them when they go out the door? Be careful. Be careful. Is Paul saying that? Don't be careful? That's not what he's talking about. The word careful there means anxiety. Don't let anxiety overwhelm you. Don't let anxiety take over. Don't let anxiety guide you. Remember the title of the message, what's your state of mind? If all we dwell upon are the things of this world, anxiety will take over. I assure you it will. Paul says, don't let that happen. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You know the greatest way to deal with anxiety? Prayer. Take your burden to the Lord. And leave it there. It's the greatest way to deal with anxiety. And yet, sometimes that's our last avenue that we go to. We want to deal with it. I can handle this. I'm strong enough. No, I'm not. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why did he add with thanksgiving? When you pray and you ask the Lord for something, in your heart and your mind, if you'll just stop right then at that moment and remember in the past something that He's already done for you. Something that He's already helped you get through. something that He's already given you grace to get from A to B to C all the way through it. Stop right there and say, Lord, I remember what You did, and I thank You for it. And for me, so many times I'd say, I'm sorry I didn't stop right then and say thank You. But I'm thanking You now because I know You brought me through it. And I know You'll bring me through this. I'm trusting You. Let Your request be made known unto God. And then what's the state of mind? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We talk a lot about the heart, but Paul also talked about the mind. You see, the mind is the doorway by which it enters into us. So you have to be very careful. Guard your mind. Don't let your mind be overwhelmed. Don't let your mind be taken by surprise. Don't let your mind be absorbed in these things that you can't do anything about anyway. But rather, let the heart take over the mind and take it to the Lord. You know that He hears your prayers. And He'll give you grace and mercy to help in every time of trouble and trial. His Word promises us that. Let's stand on those promises. Let's be true to that. To know that our God is able. As we stand and sing.